Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today we begin a new sermon series exploring those liminal places. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar at St. James, and is entitled The In-Between Begins. Our readings this week are taken from Joshua 1 verses 1 to 9 and from John 20 verses 19 to 23. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In this reading, we're in the Old Testament, in the first book of Joshua, where the people of Israel are facing a new era as they have arrived very close to the promised land, but they are without a leader, without the leader who's led them for 40 years. But God provides. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you and about to give to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
And now we read about one of those liminal spaces, those thin spaces where heaven comes to meet earth. John chapter 20. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and side. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were awestruck. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I realize that I have the preaching from last week. I think Maybe I should do it again, just to remind us. No. So, let's start with a question as we explore that word liminal. We heard liminal space, and we'll also think about more liminal seasons. But have you ever felt like you're standing right on the edge of something new? Excited? Nervous? Not exactly sure where you're going next. It's that strange feeling of anticipation and uncertainty. And it shows up in many parts of our lives. Maybe this morning you are on the move. For some, it's moving from school to college, from college to university, or from graduation into the unknown of career life. Maybe you've just moved to this town, Taunton. I know that some of you have moved houses, and it doesn't feel like home yet. Or maybe you are in the middle of a healing process, a healing from a loss, from a setback, a broken relationship. Or maybe you just feel it deep down that something needs to change, something new is coming, but you are not sure what it looks like yet. Well, some call that living in a liminal season, in that in-between space when one chapter has ended or is about to end and something next is about to begin, or has already begun but not being fully expressed. And it can feel unsettling and overwhelming. But the good news, as we will hear in this passage, is that God is present in those in-between times. In fact, it's often those very seasons that are the most powerful and possibly transformative times in our lives, places where God is at work, shaping us, strengthening us, preparing us for what is next. And so the title of our new series is Liminal, Living in the In-Between, or Living in that Seasons of Changes. So for the next 40 days, which will lead us all the way to Pentecost, we're going to explore post-resurrection stories and dwell in that in-between season of the disciples, between what was and what is yet to come. So, for those who want to know liminal, here is a definition. Liminal space. The word liminal comes from the Latin word limen, meaning threshold. Any point or place of entering or beginning. A liminal space is the time between the what was and the next. It is a place of transition, a season of waiting and not knowing. And that's exactly where we find the disciples in John 20. They had spent 3 years of their life with Jesus. They had witnessed firsthand the power of God, his goodness that was manifested through Jesus' actions and his teaching. They had learned and they had digested his instructions. They had seen him falsely accused, rejected, condemned, crucified, and buried. And now they were in shock, overwhelmed and terrified of what the religious leaders might do next. So they gather in a room, they're locking the doors, they're gripped by fear and disbelief. They had heard some startling reports from some women that the tomb was empty and that messengers had declared that Jesus was alive. Peter himself had sprinted to the tomb. He had found it empty, as explained by the woman, and he left wondering. That was last week. Wondering, could it be true? Or what does all of this mean? The disciples were living in the in-between, no longer where they had been and not sure where they were going. And today you might be experiencing a kind of in-between season. Or you might know someone who is living through one. Something has ended. Something has shifted. Something needs to change. And now you find yourself in the waiting. Or you sense that something new is coming, but you don't know yet what it will be. And like with the disciple, it can feel scary, empty, and directionless. Fear was really very real for the followers of Jesus. They hid, they were behind those closed doors, behind their fear, behind their haunting question, what now? The good news today is that Jesus wants to reveal himself to you, to me, to us. He longs to meet us exactly where we are, to break into our fear, to lead us into a journey of faith and trust and renewed fruitfulness. And that's what happened for the disciples in our reading. They didn't see it coming. They couldn't understand it until Jesus chose to manifest himself to them. And so Jesus breaks in. Suddenly he is there, breaking into their fear, breaking into their confusion, bringing one simple yet beautiful greeting. Yeah, you know, peace be with you. Quite surprisingly, Jesus doesn't come with judgment or condemnation. He doesn't say, where were you when I needed you most? Why did you abandon me? No, he says, peace be with you. Words of comfort, reassurance, and blessing. And when we are in those liminal spaces or season, to hear those words are reassuring because they're difficult times. God wants us to know that his peace is with us, even if we might be in a time of confusion and fear. He doesn't point to their failure, to their mistrust. First, he meets them with grace. Now, it's true that if we look at other passages in the Gospel, in Mark 16 and Luke 24, there are some rebukes. Jesus do, in other passages, speaks of their unbelief. Why did you not believe when the woman told you? Why the hardness of your heart? In these passages, there is a correction happening. But it's always the next step. First, God comes to us with grace, with reassurance. And that's what we have in our first reading of Joshua. Be strong, be courageous. I will be with you. So how do we hold those two together? First, Jesus meets his disciples with grace, speaking peace into their fear and their shame. But then also in love, he does correct them and challenges them. Not with condemnation, but he calls them into a deeper faith, a deeper trust and maturity. And so grace and truth comes together. Jesus doesn't come to us to point to our failures, but he doesn't also want us to remain in the same place. When we are in an in-between season, in in-between, it's because God wants us to move to a new thing. He doesn't crush us when we fail to trust him, when we fail to trust his ways or his guidance or his voice. He comes with grace first, but also he comes with correcting love, calling us to a deeper trust. Someone said, Jesus loves you and meets you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. Jesus loves you and meets you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And so Jesus stood alive before his disciples, showing them his hands and his side. There's a nice picture there of one touching the side of Jesus. Those were proof of his love, his sacrifice on the cross for them. but also proof of his victory. And so for them in that liminal space, their fear are turned into joy. Jesus is truly alive. And he shows his pierced hand, his feet, and his side. He wants them and he wants us to know that no matter what we have done, his victory is greater. That we are never disqualified from his love, his presence, and his purpose. He invites you to see the proof of his love. Look at his hands. Look at his side. Look at his feet. Pierced for you. He died for you. He carried in his body the full weight of humanity's rebellion, including yours and mine. A rebellion that unleashed the realities of sin and death in our world. And how much of that do we still see on our screen today? Only through Jesus can we be made holy and approach God with confidence. And the writer of Hebrews says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who have responded to his invitation and are now being made holy." This is the good news. He has made perfect forever those who are now believers, Christians, who have received that good news, and we are being made holy. We're not there yet, but we are being transformed. That's the extent of his love and the proof of his victory. He is alive. His resurrection was not a metaphor or a vision, but a real bodily event. His closest followers, the woman at the tomb, the two men on the road of Emmaus, which we'll see a little bit later in our series, even at one point, 500 people gathered together. They all witnessed him alive. Not as a ghost. Ghosts don't eat. You cannot touch a ghost like they were able to touch his hands and his feet, Thomas. It was not a dream, was not a vision, but it was a real physical body. Tangible, yet transformed, because he could appear and disappear. He didn't have to open the door of that closed room. And he was not always immediately recognized. It was a glorious resurrected body. And after restoring his friends, Jesus then sends them. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So there's a conversations going on with this passage and Acts 2, and often it's considered as John's Pentecost. And they make parallels with Acts 2, which we will explore when it is Pentecost in 40 days. Because Jesus here gives the Spirit and then commissions them, sends them to do his mission. So early church fathers, and those are the people after the apostle, the theologians of the time of the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th century, and they saw here Jesus' unique authority to the apostle. It's first addressed to them, to the close followers of Jesus, to represent him, just as the Father has sent me, Jesus now is sending them, to proclaim the gospel with power, and at the heart of it, the resurrection, and to be stewards of the keys of the kingdom. This strange sentence that said, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. That authority to forgive sins was understood as mainly proclaiming the good news in Jesus' name and establishing the first churches, establishing discipline and order and reconciliation. They were those key agents of the start of the church. And the early church didn't interpret this as apostles having some kind of magical power to forgive, because they were acting on behalf of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, within the context of faith community. And while they had a unique role and vocation, the idea of being sent being agents of reconciliation is applicable to all of us. We are all sent, and we are all instruments of God's reconciling power. We all called to be witnesses of what God is doing in our lives, to tell others in words and actions, to live in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And so those words are also for us. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You see, the resurrection is not just something to celebrate and believe in. It is something we need to embody and proclaim. The new life we receive when we become Christian needs to be lived out and carried out in the spheres of life we are inhabiting. In your home, at work, in your neighborhood, in the places where you spend your hobbies, in the community, places you are involved with, wherever God places you, His presence, His grace, His truth can and should be expressed and experienced by others. So like the disciples, we are reminded this morning that we are sent. We are agents of His kingdom. We carry His presence. We carry His message. We carry His intentions and His purposes in the power and in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And so we are to act on behalf of, for the glory of, and in the name of King Jesus. All our lives are now intertwined with His mission. In that closed room, Jesus turned trembling, imperfect, and fearful friends into bold agents of His mission. And He is calling today trembling, imperfect, fearful followers to become bold ambassadors of His mission of love and restoration. Like Joshua, He tells, be strong and be very courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. Wherever He has placed you, God is with you. Like the disciples, we live in a similar in-between reality between the resurrection that has taken place, Jesus is alive, and the full restoration of all things that still need to happen. And so in this in-between, we're not just invited, as I said, to believe, but we are sent. We are sent into our neighborhoods and our workplaces and our families. We are sent into dark places, carrying God's light. We are sent into brokenness, bringing healing and peace. We are not sent in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. And this place should be a place where people can meet with God, be reconciled, where miracles can happen because Jesus is alive. And I don't know if you've seen that picture on the news yesterday of Donald Trump and Zelensky having a conversation at the Vatican just before. I thought it was an amazing picture because it was this kind of empty room, there was nothing, no signs of power, it was, and there were two chairs and they were talking, and that happened in a sacred place. Some kind of reconciliation, possibly. They said it was an important conversation. I don't know what it was, but that's what should happen in our churches. Places of power and reconciliation, not because we have power, but because God is here, present. So be encouraged as agent of His kingdom. Carry His life and His hope and His victory into the world. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever He has placed you. Let's just pause and allow Him to speak into our minds and our hearts. And maybe there is a place that He's showing you. Maybe you are in that liminal season, an in-between. We all call to be agent of His kingdom. Risen Jesus, you have broken the power of death and breathe new life into us by your Spirit. Send us out, Lord, into our neighborhoods to share your love, into our workplaces to shine your light, into our families to live your peace, into dark places to bring your hope, into brokenness to carry your healing. Send us out in the power of your Spirit for the honor of your name. Amen. And to allow maybe God to continue to speak to us, if I can ask the worship, the praise team to come, and we will sing and use that space to allow God to continue to speak to you.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.